You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR production, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
Mr. Speaker!
Mr. Speaker, can I have
this is State News and Views with State Senator Charlita Tavares. State news and views that our people can use inside the legislature. Going from Main Street to the State House, you will hear it first right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
This is State Senator Charlita Tavares, and you are listening to State News and Views here on Talktainment Radio, radio the way it should be heard. And today's program is going to be focused in on housing in Columbus and Franklin County, and to really take a look at housing and the recovery and how Columbus and Franklin County stack up. I've got a couple of guests that are joining me on the phone, and then one in studio guest, really two guests. One's going to be on the air, but another is in the studio. And I'm going to take the time now to introduce my in-studio guest, and that is Amy Claiben, who is the president and CEO of Homeport, otherwise known as Columbus Housing Partnership, and she's responsible for the management of all aspects of this 25-year-old nonprofit organization. The organization provides rental housing, revitalizes neighborhoods, and helps people to become and remain successful homeowners. I'm going to have her a little bit later talk a little bit more about the organization, tell more about what they do. Prior to becoming the president and CEO of Homeport, Ms. Claiben practiced law at Porter Wright Morrison, author from 1986 to 1999. And so welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
And with her in studio, although she's not at the mic, is Maude Hill, who many of us know as a longtime advocate for housing for the people of Columbus. And she is also a senior staff member at Columbus Housing Partnership. And it's good to see you, Maude. And then on the phone, we've got two gentlemen who are joining us, two individuals who I work very closely along with Maude and Amy with Columbus Housing Partnership, now known as Homeport. But the two gentlemen are Steve Gladman, and Steve Gladman is the president of the Affordable Housing Trust for Columbus and Franklin County. And the trust is a private nonprofit that is uniquely funded by two dedicated local funding sources. And I'm going to have him talk a little bit more about the trust in a minute. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. And then last but certainly not least is Stephen Torsell. And Steve Torsell is the president and CEO or the executive director of Homes on the Hill. And it is an organization, a nonprofit organization that provides affordable housing, both for sale and rental housing. They're also one of the HUD certified home buyer and foreclosure counseling centers here in the city of Columbus. And I'm going to have Steve talk a little bit more about his organization in a minute. Good evening, Steve.
Good evening, Senator Tavares. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, it's good to hear yours, and I understand you're just getting back into town, so we appreciate your joining us for the show today. I'm going to start with you, Steve, if you would talk a little bit more about Homes on the Hill, the history of the organization, and generally the geographic area that you focus in on.
Sure. Thanks, Senator Tavares. We started almost 20 years ago. We're actually sort of an offshoot of Project Columbus Housing Partnership did in our organization, Homes on the Hill Limited Partnership, which was a 60 to 65 unit, I think, rental tax credit project done back in the early 90s. Our organization had people involved at that point in time, and they decided they wanted to do something related to home ownership. So they formed a 501c3, which is Homes on the Hill Community Development Corporation. We primarily do single-family housing, mostly buying rehabbed housing and fixing it up for home ownership, That was our initial purpose, frankly. We work in south and southwestern Columbus and Franklin County. We have sort of diversified through the years as the market has changed, and we face some interesting challenges today. We have a pretty big service area. We do a variety of different programs. We've started to do more rental housing. Interestingly enough, I heard you mention A.B. Klayman's history, and she actually was an attorney for us way back when before she got into running Columbus Housing Partnership. So we're all pretty well connected with one another. I think we have a lot of similar experiences in terms of the challenges that we work with and what we're trying to do today to meet some of these challenges and really improve the situation for our folks that live in our neighborhood. I am returning from the conference of the National Council of La Raza, which is a Latino advocacy group. And there was a lot of discussion at this conference about homeownership and the importance of it and the challenges that are faced today. So, again, thanks for having me on, and I hope I can answer some questions and help to contribute to the dialogue.
You certainly will. And next we're going to go to Steve Gladman. Steve, if you would tell us a little more about the Affordable Housing Trust and the work that you do.
Well, the Housing Trust is a private nonprofit that is funded by two unique funding sources, one from the county and one from the city of Columbus. It was an initiative of Mayor Coleman during his first term. A group of community groups and activists pressed the need for creating more affordable housing, and the mayor convened a study group, and out of that study group, the task force recommendation was made to have a funded housing trust. The trust serves as a lender to developers of affordable housing within Franklin County. The original funding source was from the city of Columbus from the hotel motel bed tax, and then later the county added a dedicated source as part of the real estate transfer fee. So every year we receive additional funding from those organizations, and then we take those funds and loan those to developers, folks like Steve Torsell and Amy Klayman, and help them do the work that they do in creating and preserving housing in Franklin County.
Thank you very much, Steve. And now we're going to go to Amy. And Amy, if you would talk a little bit about the Homeport and what was known before as Columbus Housing Partnership. And I think still many people are more familiar with that. But you've expanded your portfolio, so I want you to talk a little bit about that.
Senator Tavares, thank you so much for having us today.
You're welcome.
We are 25 years old, and it is so wonderful to be able to work with Homes on the Hill and the Affordable Housing Trust to enable us to do what we do. Over the past 25 years, we've been part of developing over 3,500 rental units. Today we have 2,000 rental units.
Great.
They're affordable homes for people in our community, and we provide them together with lots of programs to help people become and remain successful in their lives. So, for example, this summer we have 6 summer camps and provide breakfast and lunch programs for the families that need it, and lots of other programs that really have enabled families to be long-term residents in our affordable housing communities. So we love to see the family stability that is created by the housing we develop. And we know that we still need more homes for people in our community. In addition to developing renting affordable homes, we are revitalizing neighborhoods. So we're in a number of neighborhoods that we're working both rental and home ownership opportunities together with other programs to improve our communities and where people live. We also have our Housing Advisory Center that provides home buyer education, foreclosure prevention programs, financial fitness, all these programs that help people become and remain successful homeowners. And that's important as we've seen the foreclosure crisis in our community, the educational programs and the assistance with people who are at risk of losing their homes has been important. So we are changed our name. We were doing business as Homeport, but we are still Columbus Housing Partnership. But people are now
moving towards the Homeport as the business name.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Very good. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the activities that all three organizations are doing. But I kind of want to kind of get a picture of what's going on here in Columbus and Franklin County. You know, we've talked about, Amy mentioned housing foreclosures, and certainly there are some areas within our city where we have lots of vacant housing, either because individuals have been foreclosed on or the bank has taken them over. And so that helps to bring down neighborhoods and increase the in some cases, vandalism. And throughout the country, there are some states that are doing better than other states with respect to foreclosures and those vacant and abandoned housing units, the infill development that's being taken or being produced throughout the city and towns, villages, and states. But some are doing better than others. And so I wanted to talk to all three of you about where we believe we are here in Columbus and Franklin County in context of what's happening nationally. Do we think we're further ahead than some of our colleagues in other parts of the state, other parts of the nation? Did we have a more serious crisis, but we're bouncing back as one of the states that might have had a higher number? But I just wanted to get the perspective from both Steves, who are on the line, and Amy on where we are today with respect to recovery. So why don't we start with Steve Gladman?
Well, I'm not sure where we are with recovery. I think there are signs that we're doing better, and certainly the effort that Homeport makes and Homes on the Hill and some funding that were received through the Neighborhood Stabilization Program has helped. There's been other programs that are administered through the High Housing Finance Agency to assist with forestalling or preventing foreclosure. And I know both Homes on the Hill and Homeport have been very involved with those programs as well. From a rental perspective, I think it's important to realize that in Ohio, what's called the affordable housing wage is something around, it requires about $14 an hour to rent a two-bedroom apartment, and the average renter makes about $11.20. So there's about a $4,600 shortfall for affordable housing on the rental side. So that's a challenge, and producing more rental units that are affordable and preserving those that are already there are very, very important. It's a difficult task, as Steve and Amy can tell you. Ohio ranks 34 as far as most expensive places to live. So we're actually fairly affordable, but for those folks that are making minimum wage, you'd have to have two full-time minimum wage jobs to afford an average rental in Ohio. So it's still challenging, and there's a lot of work to do, but I do see some progress on the single family side.
And Steve, while you're on that point, you are a funder to help finance these developments, the construction of new and rehabilitation of existing housing, both rental and single family housing in the city and the county. You know, on that point, where are we in your mind with respect to the number and whether we're meeting the needs that are out there for affordability? You know, we talked about foreclosure. Well, many people are in this circumstance because they've lost their job, because it's not just housing foreclosures, it's lost jobs. And so, you know, you've got a double whammy. So you've got people who may have been in middle and upper income housing when they were buying their house. They may be foreclosed on and now they're renting. So they may be, in fact, taking some of those units that we were trying to develop for those who are making minimum wage or less.
Yeah,
Where are we in Columbus on that issue?
Well, I think the challenge, and I'll defer to both Steve and Amy to expand on this, but when you're financing these, what you realize very quickly is the cost of construction far exceeds what you can get in rents. And so it's not a matter of just saying, oh, we just need to build more, because the financial model doesn't work. So there has to be quite a bit of subsidy provided to make truly affordable housing available. And you're correct in saying that at the heart of affordable housing in Ohio is jobs. And so even if we could get everyone at $14 an hour, making $28,000, $29,000 a year, our problems would be much less. But it's very hard to produce housing for very low-income people because the rents that you can get going forward are pretty modest, and the operating costs exceed that. And so both Homes on the Hill and Homeport have done low-income housing tax credit projects that provide very needed housing, whether it's rental or at least purchase single-family housing. I think that we have seen in Ohio the foreclosure impact was much earlier than some other states, and in Columbus a lot of it had to do with speculative buyers in special inner-city neighborhoods where there was a lot of property that was pretty easy to buy in a leverage model.
Steve, I don't know whether you're on a cell phone, but we're kind of losing your connection as far as the ability to hear everything that you're saying.
Okay, let me call in on a different number then, and I'll try to rejoin you.
Thank you very much, Steve. And now we're going to turn to Steve Tursell to give me your perspective on where we are, and particularly in the geographic area that you concentrate on with Homes on the Hill.
Sure. I think our area was very seriously impacted, and we still have a long way to go. What we've noticed in mostly South and Southwest Columbus, property values, and this is uniform across Southwest Columbus. I mean, this includes Crow City, urban crowds moving out to the Westland area. It really doesn't make much difference. Most housing property is diminished by 20 to 30%, which obviously puts a lot of homeowners in difficult straits, and we have a pretty high rate of foreclosure in the central hilltop area and abandoned properties. So we've suffered the last 4 to 5 years with a lot of the typical things that happened with abandoned properties being broken into and stripped of their copper and other valuable items. And what we've noticed is a lot of the properties are so cheap nowadays that they're actually being purchased by a lot of out-of-town investors. And that's something that I think we're concerned about long-term in terms of what that means. You know, we'd like to think that people would be responsible owners, that they would put their properties back into good, safe shape for people, that there wouldn't be health issues, but we also know that that doesn't always happen. So we're quite concerned about that. Some areas, really, that used to have a home ownership market, the Central Hilltop, for example, it's very depressed in that area. You go a little bit further out west in the Westland area, in the Lincoln Village area, there's still some opportunity there for home ownership. But then again, you're faced with another sort of implication that's now in place, and that's more difficult for people to get loans. One of the things that's happened is that obviously lending standards have increased. People have perhaps had changes in their income status or credit issues, all of which are making it more difficult for them. And I would like to relay this. One of the advantages of going to the conference I went to was the Secretary of HUD was one of the guest speakers. And the point was made that there is a real need for more funding, like the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, to be able to go into these neighborhoods and continue to bring these housing stock back into much more productive use. And I think this is going to be a very critical political issue as we move forward to be able to have more money provided for us, because we've just basically stopped the downward spiral, but there's so much more that can be done and should be done. And I think the real issue here is this investment really helps everybody in the neighborhood, not just the one particular house or so. So we're very hopeful that things will work out and there'll be some more funding, because we've really just started to make a comeback in our area, and we'd hate to lose the momentum that we have in place.
Thank you, Steve. And when we come up next, we're going to hear from Amy Claiborne. coming up next.
Hello, may I have your attention, please? Here's how to pull up Talktainment Radio and their great quality programs.
Talktainment, all we did was remove the word enter to tainment. Remember the word entertainment? We took out the E-N-T-R and we put talk in front of it. The rest of it spelled the same. Talktainmentradio.com. Go there. Talktainmentradio.com. Hit programs. And then you'll see the programs that are put in the podcast. We have eight there, eight past programs. And if you want more than eight, all you'd have to do is give us a call at 228-2200.
The world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Have you ever wished you could spend more time with your kids, or maybe quality time with your spouse, when you can actually have an uninterrupted conversation? Do you owe your dad a little catch-up time? Well, it's time to reconnect, and no activity can bond a family together quite like boating and fishing. I mean, think of all the great experiences you had as a kid when you went boating or fishing. Well, guess what? It's still great. Boating and fishing are the perfect opportunities for your family to get away, to talk, to laugh, to create new memories. So take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you. If you haven't been on the water in a while and you're not sure where to start, or if you just like to have some helpful tips for your next trip, please visit TakeMeFishing.org. This has been a public service of TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
McGruff the Crime Dog here. Let's hear from an identity thief.
Identities are easy to catch online. I send people an official-looking email pretending to be their bank or credit card company and ask them to confirm their personal information. Books them every time.
Safeguard your personal information on the phone, online, and especially at home, because half of identity theft occurs by someone you think you know. Keep your identity to yourself and take a bite out of crime. Learn more from the National Crime Prevention Council at ncpc.org.
A message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the National Crime Prevention Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network, and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
State Senator Charlita Tavares, and we are on State News and Views. And remember, you can call in 1-877-932-9766 if you have any questions. I've got three guests who are with me, and we are talking about housing and the recovery and how Columbus stacks up. I've got on the phone Steve Tursell with Homes on the Hill and Steve Gladman with the Affordable Housing Trust of Columbus and Franklin County. And here in the studio, Amy Claiben, who is the president and CEO of Homeport. And we're going to talk with Amy now about her perspective on the recovery of housing and our market here in Columbus and Franklin County from Homeport's perspective.
We work throughout the county, and what we're seeing is that in some of the older neighborhoods, we continue to see a crisis in housing. Too many boarded up houses, issues that have been there for a while that began with the recession and with the flipping that was going on. And
can you explain flipping for those in the listening audience who may not understand what that means?
That means when somebody would purchase a home, do very little work, make it look nicer, and then sell it at an inflated price. Oftentimes there was fraud involved, fraudulent appraisals, and getting loans. Then they'd sell it to somebody. They may do the same thing, and all of a sudden you have a very high price. People walk away from that, and the value is very low. And that's impacted neighborhoods. So you have a number of communities throughout Columbus that have been very impacted by this. And frankly, there's just not enough government funding that will be available to solve all of these problems.
And that's where we hear from Columbus and Franklin County residents that, you know, the city or the county isn't doing enough to help with vacant and abandoned housing, not understanding that we are a property rights state. And this legislator certainly believes in that. I mean, I don't want somebody coming and taking someone's